like me. I was for a song,
but now I found was blind, but now I see through me any dangers, toils and snares I have become. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me.
Amen. Let's just read our scripture. If you'd like to follow along in your scripture reading, turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we'll read verse 8 through 10. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 8 through 10, and then we'll read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10 through 17. If you remember in The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, these are a couple of the scriptures that Brother Branham used to when he was speaking of the message of The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. And so we'll just read these scriptures. It'd still be on the fourth seal now, but we're just reading something here and trying to take a thought from it to help us. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." And that's after you've had the troubles and things, not before you have them. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 17. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirit, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Father, we ask you to grant your blessings unto the word this day. Give us understanding ears. Help each one. Guide us by your grace. Forgive our sins. Lord, bless those that are not with us, the ones that are sick, afflicted in their bodies. We pray that you might just reach down now and take away the sicknesses. Lord, just grant understanding to each one. Guide us by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be able, may be seated. This will be the sixth message, according to my records, on the fourth seal. But we want to speak this morning on this, put fourth seal and then put greatest battle underneath it. And then you'll see why we're using that in a little bit as far this message. The greatest battle ever fought was preached in 1962 before the seals was ever preached. But you'll see why that we're using that as we go along. But now I hope that you're getting an understanding of what we've been trying to bring out about the seals and things this time and following along with us. And I hope you've read the message of The Greatest Battle Ever Fought this week, or listened to the tape or something on it, because you'll see we'll be using most of that as a background. But I hope you're understanding, and I hope last week that you caught what we was trying to get at on that, how that the forces that come against Israel in the tribulation there, in the natural battle of Armageddon, which is the fourth seal showing that, that those forces coming there are the Protestants and Catholics coming together to fight against Israel. And if we can see that, then we ought to be able to understand a lot about what's going on in our day and the time and all that we're living and what's transpiring out here among us and all, and seeing the world as it's going. But I hope you caught that. If you didn't, listen again to last Sunday night's message on where Satan gets his forces, because I believe it would be a helpful thing to us to sometimes just listen over and over and over again to the message. That way we can get the point of what I'm trying to say to you. Sometimes I'll review and all like that and say things over again, but then sometimes I don't, and it just passes over then, and if you don't catch it, then that leaves a gap, and that's what we don't want. You remember back kind of years ago, we preached on the gap, and the gap's really between these two ears. It's the gap of our understanding. It's not a great big chasm that's out there like a great big ditch, you know, that talking about a chasm being fixed. It's not that. It's the chasm of our understanding. It's the gap in our understanding. If we miss it, then we'll miss what we're trying to drive at and see the point. Now, what did we see about these Catholics and Protestants from last week's message, just in a little review? What causes Catholics and Protestants to be the forces that come against Israel in the final battle of Armageddon? Did you catch it? What causes them? So we went back and saw that what it was caused by was Satan getting control, because we found he's got control of all governments, there in Matthew about the fourth chapter, that he controls all the nations of the world. He offered them to Jesus when he showed them to him there, and Jesus didn't argue with him about it, because he knew he'd fall heir to them after his death, burial, and resurrection. He knew he'd fall heir to the kingdoms of the world, but yet they won't be like that. But he controls every nation in the world through government, politics, and things like that. But he also controls all of the religious systems of the world. See, that might be one that's hard for people to understand, but yet the Bible says that the God of this evil age hath blinded your eyes. Well, see, that's what's happened to the people, that the God of this evil age, not the Lord Jesus Christ now, it's not even that in it. It's a little g there. It's Satan. Satan has blinded the people's eyes until they can't see that they're very part of the system. Now watch it this morning, and you'll find out that if we don't get this battle won that I'm speaking on this morning, if we don't win this battle, and that won't even be on the fourth seal, it'll just be something leading up to a place there that we can see it. It's still on the fourth seal now, but I mean, because we saw that the fourth seal started here and goes all the way through. But if we don't win the battle that we're speaking on today, then we might as well forget it. We'll wind up, and you can think that I'm not right, but we'll wind up being part of that religious system that goes after Israel when the covenant's broken and the Antichrist shows himself. We'll be part of that religious system that goes after Israel and tries to bring them right back in to where that they broke away from. Now watch that and see if you can see it today, that we'll be a very part of that system. If the battle's not won that we're speaking of this morning, we'll be a part of that system. Because we found that it's not just this church and that church. There are honest-hearted people out there that don't know. But just think, don't you think Judas was an honest-hearted person? Do you think Judas was mean as a rattlesnake the whole time? Well, why? What if he was? Then why didn't the disciples know he was? You know, he was the greatest man of the whole group because he carried the money. Everybody trusted him. If you can trust a man with money, 9 times out of 10 you can trust him with everything else, because that's generally the fault. But yet they, every one of them that was in the whole 11 trusted him with the money. He was the treasurer of the group. In other words, a treasurer, you wouldn't be running a bank down here this morning and put the treasurer of your bank, Al Capone, would you? I mean, would you want to have a board meeting and say, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to put up Al Capone over here as our treasurer this morning and take care of everything. But see, what happened to Judas, you'll see it, is the same thing that'll happen to the people in this end time. When Judas there, when Jesus was taking the last supper with him, he said, one of you will betray me. Every one of them said, and Judas himself says, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? He didn't know what he was fixing to do in that way. What does the Bible say happened to Judas? The Bible says that when Jesus gave him the sup, in other words, handed it to him and all, showing that it'd be him, the Bible says Satan entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot. And he went out and betrayed him. Until that time, he was just like the rest of the disciples. He walked with Jesus. He was justified or forgiven of his sins, as you'd say it like that. He was sanctified through the word that was spoken unto him, just like the rest of them was. Just exactly the way the other 11 was. But yet where he failed to go on was when he didn't go to Pentecost and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to make him a child of God. But yet what about the rest of them? There was a question in their mind when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. They didn't all turn and say, Judas is going to do it. We know him. They each one asked the question, is it I? Maybe we ought to ask that question this morning. Maybe we ought to think about that question this morning. Is it I, Lord, that will be part of them forces that goes over there? You say, yeah, but I wouldn't do that. Judas would have said the same thing. Judas would have said the same. He did. He asked the same question that all of them asked. Is it I? But see, when it comes down to it, if we don't win this battle we're talking about, if we don't catch then the fourth seal, the application and things that we're supposed to catch from it for ourselves, then we will be part of those forces that goes over there, because we found that those forces, when they come around Israel, what is it? Satan at that time has become incarnate in the people. Is that true? The bride goes up, Satan comes down. He becomes incarnate in the Pope, but not only that, he becomes incarnate in the people. Well, now, if he becomes incarnate in the people, it'll be the same or even worse than it was when Judas sat there and says, is it I? And Jesus handed him the sop. He said, all right, go do what you got to do. The rest of them were still missed it. They thought he told Jesus to go out and give some money to the poor or do some kind of a deed or something. Read your Bible. They didn't know Judas was going out to betray Jesus. You say, yeah, but I know better, Brother Dale. I wouldn't fight against Israel and be against them. When Satan becomes incarnate in a man's heart, he does what Satan says do. Now, that's as much as I can say. When Satan becomes incarnate in a man's heart, a man that loved Jesus, a man that Jesus loved and walked with, became then the betrayer when he done that. You say, well, I don't see how the Bible says they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. Now, how could you kill a person? How could your mind get so warped until you would kill a person thinking you was doing God a service? Woman, I might have mentioned it before, but I read one time about this woman that backed over her husband and just run backwards and forth across him with a car and just killed him. And they asked her about it. She said, me and God got fed up with him running over me. Now, how could her and God get fed up with it? See, the mind had been captivated. That's what we're speaking on. That's what we've got on the board to see. Our minds, our very being will finally be captivated by God and controlled, and we'll go into rapture or go by the grave. You know, one of the two, if time lasts. Or it will be controlled by Satan, and we'll be part of the forces that goes after Israel in the tribulation period. See, because we found that the whole thing from the very beginning was organizational. See, that was a spirit that was there that caused that. A spirit got it organized with Eve, we found, until she went wrong. See, organized it, wanted to help God now. These organizations out here, they're not trying to defeat God, they're trying to help Him. They're praying and they're crying and they're fasting and they're doing all of their works and giving millions of billions of dollars to feed the poor and all kind of things. But what's that got to do with it? General Motors has offered to feed the poor now. They're wanting each one of us to bring in canned stuff to them, and for every can of food that I take to General Motors, they'll give 50 cents to feed the poor, to buy milk and bread and all to go with it. The whole system is religious. Everything's religious. Masons, Oddfellers, all kind of different organizations, they're all religious. Satan, we found out the other day, he's not just a big bad devil that everybody looks at, oh, that's just pitiful. No, he's shrewd. What's the Bible we read here? What do we wrestle against? Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Watch now. Against powers. We found from the greatest battle ever fought the other day that Satan's power is a perversion, but that's all he's got, is that kind of a power. But yet we wrestle against those powers, and it says spiritual wickedness in high places. There's no higher place in a church than the pulpit where the word is supposed to come from. That's why you better know. I told you years and years ago, it's there on tape, that I told you, I said, you think little things now are deceiving? Wait until the hour comes when you see the great deception. Man just recently said the Lord appeared unto him and told him that there would be 2 years left. Appeared unto him now. That's what he said. I'm not going to argue with him about it because there's no argument to it. But he said the Lord appeared unto him and told him it's 2 years left. That the rapture would come in it would be over in 84. And he had it down how Brother Branham, the 7 years, Brother Branham said there was 7 years left. He had that down from 77 to 84. I got a letter just yesterday with a note in it. A man sent me a drawing. There was a big drawing of things. He had it figured out that 83 would be the rapture. And he had things down that you'd have never thought of. He had it even down that we finally received our independence from England, or ever who we got it from back there, in the year 1783. You know, when we got our independence, really, from them. And that 1983 would be 200 years. And had where Brother Branham said that no nation would ever go 200 years, you know. And all of that. Had dates down there that brings everything right down to this very year that we're living. But as I asked a man the other day, I said, how would you fit that with what Brother Branham said, the rapture could come at any time? I said, now how could you fit it? When the rapture could come at any time. The Bible says that we don't go for dates and times and seasons. He said, I'm scared of your experience when you do that. Now, ain't that what he said? Ain't that what the prophet's interpretation of what was being said in the scripture? Said, I'm scared of your experience. Man asked me, he said, what do you think about this 84 this man said in the 7 years? Now, I said, the same man that said that there was 2 years left and that it was the 7 years Brother Ram was speaking of was the same man that you told me that he made his kids quit school because the rapture was coming before 77. I said, that's what I think about it. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't have no warfare going on out here. There's nobody trying to kill us now for what we believe. They just laugh at us. Oh, they might make a little ridicule of you or your kids in school, but they're just laughing at you because they also ridicule the other one over on the other side. We're in no problems. As Brother Lee Hale said one time, if this is a tribulation, give me a thousand years of it. I'm enjoying it. See, our fight, as we read here in the scripture, we're going to talk about the greatest battle ever fought. Then our fight is against spiritual wickedness in high places, and there's no higher places than the preacher in the pulpit. In church matters, you have no higher places. Nothing. No higher than the preacher behind the pulpit. Well, then that's what you wrestle against. Whether it be me, you, or whoever it would be preaching, that's what we wrestle against. Unless that preacher's preaching the truth, and that'll be left up to you to decide then. But now what are we trying to get to? Eve said, let's get this thing organized. I want to bring forth the word. If I have time, I'll read it from The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. Brother Brown said, we want to see things done for God. But said, we got to get it in the right channel first. Said, we want to do this. We want to do it. We want to see God do. We want to see Him work. It's got to be the right channel. So there's no need, as I said, to worry about Armageddon, which will be in the tribulation to Israel, unless we can see the greatest battle ever fought and see how to win that battle, which is a battle of the mind. And then if we can see how to win that battle and how that battle is won, then we can go on to see how death will be conquered. Because it just goes right on up and just keeps going. But now if we don't, get what I said. Using Judas as an example now, if we don't get this battle won of the mind, we will miss the rapture. We might be Christians. We might have to go by the grave, but we will not be in the rapture, you know, being changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. We'll have to come up to resurrection. We'll die. Or, and I emphasize that word or, it'll be one or the other now. Or we'll wind up fighting against Israel because we'll be part of the religious system of Catholics and Protestants, the prophet used on the fourth seal when he said they go after Israel. Now you see what I'm trying to say with the background now of what we've been speaking of the fourth seal? It'll have to be one or the other. We will either be on God's side or Satan's side because the greatest battle ever fought is going on right now in your mind. Now unless we can win that battle of the mind, we'll lose the whole thing. So now just think about it. Satan, you say, oh no, I wouldn't join. I said, oh, I wouldn't join against Israel. Judas said, oh no, I wouldn't betray Jesus. No, I wouldn't. But he did. And so will we. I've talked to Baptists and Methodists and things like that and even had some of the thoughts in my own mind. I told you it was so deceiving that even Martin Luther, a man chosen for a church age messenger, Martin Luther's talked about Israel or not even to have what they have. And Adolf Hitler just fulfilled the prophet said what Martin Luther proclaimed. And then me and you say, oh no, I wouldn't betray nobody. When Satan becomes incarnate in a man, he will do what Satan says, irregardless of who we are. All right, but now what did we find? Satan in the garden caused every organization because he put his carnal reasoning upon the word. Did he tell Eve there is no God? Was that his attack? No. He says God just don't mean what he says. He didn't tell her there was no God because she knew there was a God. She was standing there. She was a creation. And she knew somebody created her. And she knew God and fellowshiped with him there in the cool of the evening with Adam. And she knew God. But she just didn't believe he'd keep his word or that what he said meant exactly what he said it meant. Carnal reasoning. See, then the carnal mind has always been at enmity, the Bible says, against God. Back in Genesis, you'll find it says the imagination of man's mind is continually evil. Now, does that leave a Christian out? Now, you're not talking about the soul, are you? You're talking about the mind, the brain. That's what the prophet said because he used the word brain. The imagination of man's mind is continually evil. To show you an example of it, dirty thoughts don't come from God. It has to come from another source. Then the things we roll through our mind that are not on higher things, and if you'll be honest, I will too, that's about 98% of the time. Is that a pretty good figure? You want to maybe raise it one notch and make it 99. That about 98% of the time, our mind is upon worldly things. And in a lot of those worldly things becomes imaginations and things that are not right. You people that are working know what I'm talking about. The boss comes in and says a little word to you cross one morning. You spend the rest of the day in your imaginations, wondering what's wrong. Why did he say that? What caused him to say that? He shouldn't have said that to me. I know I'm guilty, but he shouldn't have said it like that. All day long, as I said, your wife some morning or the husband one goes out the door and maybe slams it a little bit and acts a little funny, and all day long in your mind you ponder, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with him or her? Boy, I'll get them when I get home this evening. I'll tell them off, find out why they're acting like it. Then when you walk in, the husband or the wife one says, you know, honey, said, I'm glad to see you. I've been praying for you all day today. That just blows everything, don't it? Because you just spent your whole day in imaginations. You children, you know what an imaginary world is, don't you? You play games with imaginary creatures, don't you? Well, it's just grown-ups for us. We just got a little bit bigger imaginations. No difference in kids and boys and men except for the size and the price of their toys. Ain't that true? See, we're just a little bit bigger kids. Our imagination is worse than yours. Because Satan then has more control of us. All right, now the battle of the mind. Satan took that carnal mind. He took that mind of Eve that was created right, and he began to stop up, the prophet said, the flues, the channels. Now basically this morning, I won't read part of it, but if you've read the book or heard the tape of The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, you'll know where I'm getting it from. He said he stopped up the flues in Eve. And when he stopped up those flues, that caused the carnal mind to begin to reason. Now, we know that we are a body, a spirit, a soul. Our body has five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's the five senses of the body. You use that to contact the world, see, out here. Then you have reasoning, memory. Well, you have conscience, memory, reasoning, imagination, and affections. That's five of your, that's the five senses of your spirit. Then your soul now, it has only one sense. Faith or doubt controls your soul. So now this morning as we study the message, in case I miss it over here later, I've got it somewhere in the notes. Some of you that are not Christians this morning, think about what I'm saying. I'll be speaking to you, but I'll be speaking also to others that are Christians that need healing for their body. They need control of their emotional sides. They need help in life to live, you know, and get along, because we won't be dealing basically in the rapture this morning. We're just trying to study about the carnal mind and to see if we can get these things into the place using the greatest battle ever fought. Then we can see that we'll come to the place to win this battle, or, as I said, we'll go by the grave or wind up being part of the forces fighting against Israel one of these days in the tribulation period. Now, we've got our choice. We want to see what our enemy is. Find our enemy and destroy him. Find that enemy. Now, in the greatest battle ever fought, we find that Satan, the battleground was chosen. And that battleground was the human brain, the mind. Now we're talking about, we're not even speaking, and nowhere until I get to the end of the service, and if I don't remember it, then you tie it back together. Nowhere in here will I be speaking of the mind that's in Christ being us, we're a new creature. I'm talking about the brain, the mind. The brain. Because we're going to have to see how to get that word down through that channel before we can talk about the mind of Christ being us, we'll be new creatures. You understand me now? You get the setting of what I'm saying. We want to find that enemy. And we find that that enemy started in the human brain. And as he started there, his first attack was to plant his seed of disbelief. And as he did, he began to get Eve to reason. He worked through her memory. He said, don't you know you were made for that? Do you remember when you were in theophany and heard God say that multiply and replenish the earth? Isn't it reasonable, see? Isn't it something that you can reason and look at? You're supposed to bring forth children. Reasonable. Can't you imagine? See where he was working with Eve at? Can't you imagine? Now, for sake of you older ones, when you read or listen to the greatest battle ever fought, until that time the prophet taught the spirit as the center rim and the soul as the second rim, and in that message he begins to swap them, and then later you find him always teaching the soul as the center rim, the spirit as the second rim, the body's outside. So when you read the book, and if I read something out a while and I substitute the word spirit for soul in there, then don't think I'm changing Brother Brown's message. Because he never changed the senses in no way. He always gave five senses for the body. He always gave five senses for the second rim. You want to call it soul or spirit? He always gave five senses for that second rim. And any time in that book you hear him mention memory, reason, conscience, senses like that, it's the second rim. Check it with him and see if it ain't right. But then when he talks about the center rim, he always gave that nothing more than one sense. It's either Satan or it's God. It's either faith or doubt in your soul this morning. So now that's just for the older ones that know the message. But just think now. if we can find from the greatest battle ever fought how that battle can be won against the human mind, then we can go on and see how death is destroyed under the fourth seal. Because the fourth seal shows you death and shows it destroyed, doesn't it? His name is Death. And then shows how he's destroyed in Armageddon. And then we're just studying now to come up to that place. But if we can see how that this battle of the human mind is won, then there'll be no problems over there with the death and everything. I already know. I've already got it in my mind where I'm preaching to. And I already see how death will be destroyed, but I'm having to get you to follow me. See, that's something I've studied for years to see. And I can see now how it's finally destroyed. But we have to go slow and gradual up to it, and then you'll see how it's destroyed. If we can't see it destroyed in this brain, if we can't fight the battle in the brain and win with God on our side and the Bible saying greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, then we will never see death destroyed. That's as truthful and as honest I can tell you, me, and all of us. We're headed to the grave unless we see this battle and see how it's won. Because this battle will be the very thing that'll bring us all the way. I'll show you in a minute, Brother Brown said when he was talking on the greatest battle ever fought, that this battle in Eve there caused every battle that would ever be fought. This battle, that's why we started back here. See, it's the battle of the mind. Reasonings and things. All right, now let's just start on something now. Because we saw from greatest battle ever fought that there's only two powers. And the Bible says there's really only one power. And Brother Ram brings it out there that there's two powers, God's and Satan, and Satan is just a perversion. It's not a power. Bible in Romans 13:1 we read the other day, says there's just one power. And the things that are permitted of God, remember? Satan was permitted of God. It's not a power, it's just a perversion. That right there is something that would help us if we'd study that point. That as I tried to bring out the other day, that death is just permitted. Well, surely we can see how it could be destroyed then if it's just permitted. If it's not a power and just permitted, surely we ought to be able to see how it's destroyed. See, because it's just permission. Something God permitted. But now just think, where was the first battle? It started in heaven and it came down to earth. And became earthly human battles then, and it started in the human brain. See, he began to talk to Eve through her brain. Without a brain, you can't do nothing. Your brain is not your spirit, but your spirit is tied to your brain. But your brain is just a mass of matter. I saw there in the book last night looking at it, the different sections of the brain that how your sight is back here, and then you've got memory along in here, and then you've got your different things up here in front of your brain. Your brain is nothing but just like a dog's brain. That might be hard for you to swallow, but think about it. You know, they call us bird brains. Well, that's about true. They say that fella going there, he ain't got enough brain as a hummingbird. Well, that's about true in some cases. But it's just a matter. It's just like a heart. A heart ain't nothing but something, you know, it's blood cells and things like that. Just one end to make. It's cells. It's really, now we're in an age and time that we can understand the words, it's really a computer. Your human brain is just a highly sensitive computer. And you people that fool with computers, you know then that what I'm saying is true, because it's what's fed into the computer is what comes back out of it. See? And what goes into your brain comes back out. Your mental capacity of your brain, see, that we're talking about. Then Satan began to talk to Eve, see, through her hearing. So he got her to hear him. He got her to see what was out there in front of her. Finally got feeling and all of that involved in it. Produced the product. But as he did, then he went on through in there and began to get her memory working and her reasoning and all like that to work it. And her conscience and her affections. That's not affection. One of them, I might spell it wrong, but one of them means something that affects you and the other one's affections you have. You get the right one, which one I put it. But now, Eve stopped just for a moment. Now, we went through this, but I want you to think on what we're trying to go through because I'm trying to say something. If we can see this, we'll see death destroyed before I ever even get to the place that I have to read it to you or try to preach on it. We can see how it's done. You ought to have caught enough of it by now. Eve stopped just for a moment. Now to you that are not Christians, maybe, some, you are controlled by the inside of it, outwardly, and you think according to what's inside of you. Then to you that are Christians, the inside is controlled by the Holy Spirit, but yet we can plug up those channels in between there and God can't work. As I said the other day, God works through the same senses now that you have. Satan works through those identical senses. God doesn't have one secret entrance he gets in, and Satan can't find it to get in. They both come down through all of these to get to you. Satan, he shows you a woman that's dying, and he said, you remember when she's dying, you saw her die with cancer or something went wrong, or leukemia, some kind of disease took her. Now, you know it took her. Now you got the same thing. What's he working through? These senses. But God comes along and he says, yeah, but don't you remember the lame man that Peter took a hold of his hand and said, stand up and walk. See, he's working through these same senses to get to you. So the battle is in the brain. If we can get that little spot stopped right there, get us to stop that reasoning and things like that. But what did Eve do wrong? She stopped. Now you remember when the prophet was telling in there about the girl that used to dance, and how that in their dancing, you know, that they'd won many different trophies and things of dancing. And when it come down to it that this girl was going down the street and she heard this music in this place and them in there dancing and she stopped. Brother Brown said, that's where she went wrong. Now, that's our trouble today. We read the Word. We need healing. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need whatever we would be needing today. We're reading the Word. And instead of taking that Word and saying, that's what the Word says, here comes memory, reasoning. We stop. And that messes us up. Abraham, you'll find Brother Branham talking of him in there, that Abraham doubted his doubts. Now, it didn't say he didn't have doubts. See, it don't say in the Bible that Abraham didn't have doubts. But it says he doubted his doubts. In other words, he took what God said over what his doubts were. He didn't listen to nothing else. He wouldn't stop. Sarah would say, but Abraham, take Hagar for your wife. That seemed like it was a stumbler to Abraham. Looked like Abraham doubted there for a minute. No, he's just doing what his wife told him. One time he said, Lord, said, it would that Ishmael had walked before you instead of trying to bring forth another. No, the Lord said, no. Well, it didn't say that Abraham doubted. See, he believed what God said. And if me and you can just believe that in our human brain, you ever heard the prophet say something like this when he'd say the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass? Abraham now was a human being, and he would perfectly fit then what we're talking about here this morning. If there's any here that are lost, or any here of these tapes that would be lost, he would perfectly fit so we can talk and use him. Abraham wasn't a born-again believer like we call born-again believers now, because that was back in the Old Testament and they weren't born again then. So Abraham was a man. Thought like a man, acted like a man. He wasn't a Christian, as we call it now. But when God told Abraham something, he believed it. And the Bible called him the father of faith. Was Abraham a different type of person? Remember here a few weeks ago when I was trying to get you to see something from that, that if we just isolate those cases and we ain't careful, we'll have it to the place that we'll say, well, that was Abraham. He is meant to do that. That is Brother Branham. He is meant to do that. That was David. He is meant to do it. But I can't do none of that. I'm just meant to be me. And right then we go wrong. See, because we then let something come in that causes a confusion in our thinking ability. So one day, Abraham, he met God. God said, Abraham, I'm going to bring a child through you. Well, that wasn't no problem right then. You know, as far as Abraham was concerned, he was capable of fathering children. Proved it when Hagar brought forth an Ishmael. But see, Abraham didn't stop. What me and you have done, we've stopped. That's what's wrong with the people of this message now. They're fighting for straws. Instead of all of these years staying with the same thing until God just grows you more and more and more until he finally comes to back up his word, people are now going after straws of all kinds. Why? They've stopped. Abraham, he said, now you're going to have a child. He said, all right, I'm going to have a child. I believe you, Lord, because I have no reason to doubt you. Things come along, he said, well, all right, I'll doubt my doubts then. Abraham being a human being, surely Satan could talk to him just like Satan could talk to me and you. But Abraham made up his mind, not his conscience, memory, reason, affections, and see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. He made up his own human mind that God told him that, and that he would not doubt what God said. Then here me and you come along, and God brings something to us and tries to tell us something, and we've seen all of these years of God doing things, and we've got this Bible to read of what he done there and how that he would heal and all like that. And we get sick, and then when we do, here comes Satan along and he says, well, your mama died with that. Uh-oh. You done stop now. Just tell him, say, well, mama might have, but I ain't. Just pass him on. But what we do, we just stop and entertain. Your daddy had that. Your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle. Somebody, see, you bring it up. Somebody back there had that. Aunt Susie had it, or somebody. And he'll bring that right there, and the first thing you know, you'll say, well, you know, I'm hurting, and I remember them hurting, and I'm hurting just like they's hurting. Now you've stopped. You just entertained the devil. And as I said about my brother-in-law, he kept saying he had heart trouble until he had it. Now, the Bible teaches us that. The prophet teaches us that, so we ought to be able to believe it. That the things Job feared came upon him. But had he not feared it, what if Abraham would have started saying, well, Lord, I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't know what you're going to do, Lord. I don't know. The Bible didn't say that about him. He said he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. It don't matter how much we can look back there and see them. We've got to bring it up to us. You and I this morning, a lot of us need healing for our bodies. A lot need salvation for their soul, deliverance from all kind of things. And if we get it down in its right place, then we can see the greatest battle ever fought. It is going on right now, and that's the way the prophet said it. The reason I said it, it's not the fourth seal that he's speaking on the greatest battle ever fought. It is when you come over there and finally see it. But on that, he was just trying to get us to see how the battle could be won. Satan, through his unbelief, gets us to stop. And when he does, he stops up our channels. You're a Christian this morning. You've got Jesus in here. You still got these two things to deal with. You take an ear of corn, let's like take it like this. You've got a Jesus in here, right? You got a grain of corn. You take it out and you put it in the ground. When it comes up, talking to Christians now, when it comes up and you lay a rock on that grain of corn, what does it do? It deforms it. It'll come out and grow up another way and always look like that. Don't matter how many years you left it there, it still look like that. If it grows to be a tree or anything, you see a warped tree out there, it was caused by something being on it. You know, or some form caused it. Wind blowed it over a certain way or something held it and it caused it to grow that way. All right, now, how would you correct that? You've got him in here. You've got Christ in the soul, and that's good. But what's happened, we've let Satan come in and plug up all of them channels that God then can't get his word to us. He tries to speak to us through his word. Through the preachers or through talking to one another, through reading or whatnot. He tries to speak to us. But yet what do? Well, that might be true, but see, you stopped. You children, you know I know what I'm talking about, and you grown-ups too. When you stop, Satan's got you caught. Now, that's all it takes, just you stopping just for a minute, he's got you caught. You go by in front of a television screen, and you see something on it, you can't help see it. You walk through a store, you can't help see it. You're going off somewhere, you're going on, that's all right. You ain't done anything wrong. But then about that time, you just stop and back up. And right there is where you messed up. See, right there is where it's messed up. You start pressing toward the Lord. Now, the Bible don't promise us that when we start trying to press toward God that everything will become a bed of roses. It promises that hell will break loose. Now, that's as hard as I could say it. That's just the way I believe it. It promises us that. Then things will start going wrong instead of good. You'd say, well, now, boy, God don't know how to run his business. Looks like if I started toward him, he'd start making things good. No, he does it to where you'll know. He wants you to be a son. It would be fine for our children. I have in my lifetime, as I said, like Abraham, you have thoughts. It would have been fine for our children to have stayed about 2 years or 3 years old where there was all this comical little funny things and everything they done was funny and playing with them and having a good time. But they wasn't designed for that. They was designed to grow up, to marry, to have a family, and to be gone from mom and daddy. That's what they're designed for. But yet we'd like to deform them and keep them about like that. See, where we could kind of play with them and have a good time. But see, that's not right. That's not right. It's right for them to grow up and to marry and to leave mom and daddy because that's what the Bible says they'll do. See, they have to have a chance to grow up and become what they want to be. But see, as a Christian, we think sometimes that it'd be better for God to leave us just about that high. You know, just get us born again. And basically, now if you'll think about it, some of you older ones know it, that's basically what a lot of these denominations do, even if they could bring forth, you know, Brother Ryan said, they can produce a birth, even if they do, they've got little babies just about that high. You go talk to them. Now, that's all they've got. I don't care where it's Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, or what. They've got little babies. They can talk about little baby things of the Bible. They can discuss little baby things. And they act like little babies. You know, they get mad when you say something. A little baby, he gets mad. He can take a toy, and if it don't fit just right, he gets mad, hit with a hammer. And a little baby Christian. You say something to him, he gets his feelings hurt, he gets mad. You give him a time to grow. See, what's he learning to control? What does it mean when the Bible says grow in grace and knowledge? You know? What does that mean that you're learning to control something? What are you learning to control? You're not learning to control the soul, because that's God. You don't control that. That's God. You're learning to control this other part of man that you are. Where once you would have imaginations and memories and things like that that would cause you to go wrong, now you're beginning to control them. See, that's what the greatest battle is about. We know what the battle is. We know where the battle's at. But how do we control them things? That's why I wanted you to listen to that message. How do we learn to control those things? And you'd be surprised. I ain't even got no notes as I've preached this morning. I mean, I've left them totally. Because it's just, maybe it's just the way we're supposed to. But now let's just think a little bit about a Christian. Or about, say, you that need to be a Christian. Think a minute about something. And I wrote it here especially where it, listen closely. Now, I remember writing that because I wrote this morning after I got here. Listen closely. It could mean life or death. Now, if you was brought to court this morning and a lawyer said, now listen real close. You're going to the witness stand and you're going to have to testify. Now listen real close. When they say, do you know anything about this? You say, I take the Fifth Amendment. You know, which means you can't, you're not going to testify. It might bring something against you. That's the Fifth Amendment. It gives you a right to where you go to court. You say, well, I take the Fifth Amendment. That means you're not going to testify because it might condemn you if you do. It might be against you if you testify. But if that lawyer, he says, now when they say, do you know anything about this? Say, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment. Well, now, then you go into court and you sit down and the lawyer asks you questions and you say, well, now, what was it that lawyer said to me to do? Well, Your Honor, I'm going to take the Fourth Amendment on that. Lord, you're the judge and everybody in there would laugh you to ridicule because they'd know what you was meaning, but they'd know you had the wrong amendment. And they might even laugh and say, you can have that amendment. Now, I don't know what that amendment says, but we'll just comically say it so you can get a point for what I'm fixing to say. Suppose that amendment says that you can go stand on your head in the back of the courtroom, and the judge just says, go ahead, son, go on back there. See, it has nothing to do with the Fifth Amendment. Now, if you didn't listen real close, it could cost you your case. Is that true? Now, if you don't listen real close this morning, it could cost you your life. Not at what I'm going to say, but at what I'm going to try to say from the prophet's message. It could cost you your life. You can go by the grave. You can have a choice. Or we'll wind up in the tribulation and wind up battling against God. Because we've done said that's what it'll be. And if you think I'm wrong in that, let's hear you say something else. Because when Satan becomes incarnate in you, you'll take what he says. What causes a person out here that's a Christian to go do things that's wrong? Well, the demon possessed. Well, that's what happened. Demon possessed. They go do something wrong. What caused that woman that Brother Brown was referring to might even be in this book, where he said that woman was left her husband, went off and lived with a whole bunch of different men and everything else. Said she had amnesia. He said that's what they say, but he said his devil just took her. Her in her right mind, she wouldn't do that. The devil just took her. But now just think now. This is for everybody concerned in here. Like I said, whether you're a Christian or not, this is talking to you and concerning you, what I'm trying to say off here. He covers, and I won't read these, I'll just quote by memory. And then I meant to read all this page, but we done run so late, I won't do it. He covers on page 15 and 16 of The Greatest Battle Ever Fought that it is not Christian Science. Christian Science believes mind over matter. They believe whatever you think in your mind, see, is control, and you can control that matter and all with it. And people can even bend metal with their mind. Now that's how strong it is. So don't think just because I've had this great thought, this great thing, that it's true. People can bend metal with their mind. Satan is as an angel of light. Surely then he can give people thoughts that would be right. Is that true? Surely he can do that if he's an angel of light. But now, it's not Christian Science. It's taking the word that comes from somewhere else. See, Christian Science is their own thought. Whether you need to be a Christian this morning or what, let this soak down in there. The thought comes from somewhere else. It is not your thought until it's given unto you. Now that's on the fourth seal, the second and all. So you know we're still in the seal. It's not your thought of just saying, well, I know I've been wrong and I need to be a Christian. Now that's good. That's a good thought. But that won't save you. Now look, see if that ain't what organization's teaching. You'll see that it's death. They simply teach for you to change your mind from being this sinner to become this person, and then they'll tell you, well, we have troubles, but we all have troubles, and nobody can condemn the other person for having troubles. I've talked to preachers that would say, yeah, but Samuel, you can't do nothing about what you are. Yes, you can, too. Or the Bible's wrong. But see, it's not just your thought now. Get what I'm saying? It's not just, well, I need to become a Christian. I've heard that preached a lot, and I need to become a Christian. It's God's thought that does it. It's the word that he brings. This is God's thought in the Bible. There's enough right here in this Bible to save the entire world. Brother Branham said over there, see if I can find it. Well, somewhere in this, in the message, he says it this way. He said, why does it work for some and won't work for others? In other words, speaking about, why is it that some people can be healed? Some people can be delivered of their problems. Some people can be saved and some can't. He said it's because these are mixed up. Our senses. He says they can't get them out of the way. Now, Abraham had those same senses just as perverted as ours. But yet when God spoke, Abraham said, that's what God said. I don't care what anybody else said. See, the thought came from somewhere else. It wasn't just his thought. He wasn't just sitting out there and saying, I ought to be a better man. So I think I'll just have a child by Sarah and her past childbearing. That wasn't his thought. It wouldn't matter how many good thoughts you have. That's just commendable. Just like our dressing and our doings, men and women and all that, that's just commendable for our doings and living a good moral life out here, but that's not Christianity. Christianity is salvation that sets you free. It's not those things. I told a man the other day, I said, we expect our children to act as Christians when maybe they're not. And I said, we withdraw them from the world as all of these people has and try to separate them, won't let them play ball, won't let them do this, won't let them do that. Well, that's good because you're just protecting them and helping take care of them. But that doesn't make them a Christian. There's somewhere in here in the book that Brother Branham speaks and he says, I do these things good, I do this, I don't do that. No, he said, that's fine, but said, that's still not it. One time he was speaking about, said, I go to church on Sunday morning. I do that. Here he speaks the same way of two people. I believe it's on Intervale. He speaks the same way of two people. He said, I go to church on Sunday morning. I worship God. I do it. He said, this other man said, I go to church. I worship God. He said, one of them was Christianity from the heart. The other one was Christianity from his spiritual realm. From his spiritual realm, he has conscious memory, reasoning, all that. And he says in his mind, he says, if I don't go to church this morning, memory, they will reason that there's something wrong with my conscience. My imagination shows me that. But I'm going this morning because I've got affections for God. You can love God with your spirit and die and go to hell. You can actually love God and die and go to hell. You do that with your spirit. Notice, there's not nothing in your soul but faith or doubt. You don't love with your soul. You love with your spirit. You display it with your body. Either Satan or God one is in your soul this morning controlling you. Then the greatest battle ever fought is up in here trying to get God down to there. If you're a sinner, he's trying to come through here to get you saved. If you're a Christian and he's sitting in here, he's still trying to come through here to get to you the word. Because as I said, Abraham didn't get his own thought. David didn't sit out there in the Psalms and the hymns and singing and get his own thought. It was his after God gave it to him. The word laying there before you will save you, or heal you, or deliver you, if you'll accept it. Don't let it come down through and deform now and say, well, I'm letting the word come in. My memory says so and so. You're just taking part of the word away. Yeah, my imagination, you take another part. My reasoning, my faith. First thing you know, when it gets to the soul, you ain't got nothing left. See, God wants us to take His Word. Now, that's in the greatest battle ever fought. He said He wants children that will stand on His Word. Take His Word. Then you know it's not your thought. That's Christian Science. See, it's your thought. You know then it's not your thought, it's God's thought. Then if you can do that and accept it, watch now, accept it in the mind. Quoting from page 17. Accept it in the mind and believe it in the heart. Now doesn't that exactly fit Romans where it's talking about a person said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? See, not just accept the word, say, well, he said that to me, no, you've got to accept it through this human brain with no reasoning in it, no memory in it, no conscience, no see, taste, feel, smell, hear. He says he wants us to get away from them things. If you read the book and listened to it, he wants us to get away from them things. Separate ourselves from memory, reason. That's on page 29. Separate ourselves from those things. And stand on what the Word says. Then when we do, if we'll do that, God will open up the channels. See, His Word will come on through. If He can get us to just stand still long enough to listen to His Word and not stop and listen to Satan's, He can come through those same senses. And tonight you'll see what He does when He comes through those senses, the Lord willing. You'll see Him do something to us if we can get out of that part of it. God just don't come in and just take out something. He always replaces it. But see, we've got to clean them places out. I remember when so-and-so cleaned it out. Clean it out by what? Clean it out by the Word. I heard even a denominational preacher this morning said, quote the Word to Satan, said he can't stand that. Said that's one thing he can't stand. Quote the Word to him. How do you think these people out here that are not Christians get healed? How do you think the people out there that are not Christian get healed? They get healed because they quote the Word to Satan. They believe the Word. Abraham believed what God said. He knew God had spoken unto him, and he stood with what God said, and it didn't matter if it went on 50 years, 100 years, he'd have still been standing on the Word. It went 25 years. How many of you waited 25 years for your healing? Oh, we'll find that out later, that there's patience involved in it. That when God speaks to us, we've got to sometimes stand the test. We've been taught that, haven't we? What's that got to do with the Word? What have we been taught? We've been taught that we can be healed of something today and die with it tomorrow. If I'm in a hospital dying with pneumonia and you come in and pray for me and I say, by His stripes I'm healed, and the next day I die, don't write on my tombstone I died with pneumonia. Don't write it on there, you'd write a lie. I might have died from after effects from it, of strength or something else it was gone from, but I didn't die with a pneumonia. God healed me of it. You've got to look at the Word straight that way, and when you do, it'll start cleaning out them channels. Don't let it be that way. Go back to the Word. When Satan says, yeah, but you're hurting, you're feeling bad, and all these things, you're just run down. Read what the Word says. Read what the Word says. It even says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even if you're dying. Those channels have got plugged up in us. That memory has got in there. And brother, it's hard to fight. Don't get me wrong. I'm not set free from it myself. I'm just trying to talk to us. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm not at the end of the tunnel. Because I have my bad feelings and my bad thoughts just like you. I have my imagination that runs hog wild. How would you like to have it and pastor a church like this? When you would wonder why all the people walked away. You wonder why. But you got to cast them down. You've got to cast them away. The prophet covers in here how to resist the devil. You know how to resist the devil? The Bible says he'll flee from you. Don't say he'll walk away from you now. It says resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Brother Brown said simply turn him down. turn him down, and he'll flee from you. How do you turn him down? Just tell him, quote the word to it. Quote the word to it. When he starts bringing in your things and starts telling you all about how you're doing this, that, just start turning him down. You know, the prophet said in the greatest battle ever fought, he says, you finally come to the place you get a stream between you and God. See, if you can get all of this cleaned out, think it wouldn't be a stream? You remember how it was drawn out here years ago by Brother Moat when Brother Branham was covering off the greatest battle ever fought, that we get the flu stopped up. You know what a flu is? Like the old heaters used to be. Had the water flowing through them. You know, you just go like that, and you got your water went through all of that. Well, you got a flu, you know, that stopped up. There the other day at the house, the old wood heater got to, every time he'd open the door, it'd just roll back. I couldn't figure out what it was. You open the bottom door and it'd be all right, but it just rolled back. See, it wouldn't get no air. So I knew what to do. I just pulled the heater pipe off the back of an 8-inch pipe. There was a hole about that big left that the smoke could go through. The soot had got all in there, you know, and rosin, as you call it, and filled the pipe up. Well, see, whatever little smoke could go out was being crushed. Couldn't hardly go out. Cleaned it out, you open the door, and it don't do it. Stopping up the flu, see. Them flus running in there. Then you write memory, reason, conscience, affections, and all that in there. You know what'll happen to an old broiler that, well, down in Atlanta here not, what was it, last year when all those children got killed because that broiler blowed up. Odd, it could have got stopped up somewhere and caused trouble. How many's ever run an old kerosene heater and let the heat go out, and then about that time it'll flow back in there in a good red-hot heater because some little old something's got over the pipe and just cut off the heat, and about that time you better be careful. You can get a good explosion. See, because it's something, like if you're going to force something through from here to here, and when you get about halfway and you plug that up with memory. And I guess the Lord meant for it to be that way. It didn't mark all the way across. You just plug it about halfway with your memory. It's going to blow up this back this way. It's going to rupture. It's going to cause you problems. So let's just get down and just get all that out of the way. You say, how do you get that out of the way? There ain't but one way to get it out of the way. And let's take what God said. Let him do the cleaning out. Then, as Brother Ryan said, it starts a stream between you and God. You just got a channel. It's just flowing. Mine's got so plugged up times until God couldn't even speak to me. Fasting is not to get the Lord to come to you. Fasting is to get yourself out of the way. The Lord's there all the time. See, we plug up the channels. We get down and out and everything. Then we say, well, Lord, a man the other day, I'm not throwing off on this certain brother, but he fasts a good bit. He'll just come up to work and just like that, he'll just want to eat that day. And it came to me the other day, and maybe one of these days I'll speak to him about it. You remember the film of Martin Luther when he was back there in the Catholic Church, you know? When Luther was there in it? You remember him when he was there in that film when they were showing it? That this old priest said to him, he kept on doing penance and, you know, harming his body and fasting. This old priest said, you can't find peace in your soul by punishing your body. Well, see, now that's true. Now, we ought to fast more than we do. But you'll never find peace in your soul by punishing your body. You find peace in your soul when you fast to get yourself out of the way and realize that God's there all the time. Then you can find peace in your soul. Brother was telling me about how some of these people have to have emotional feelings when they pray and all like that, and they'll cry. I said, brother, that's all fine, but I said, you just got through telling me you've been going through the hardest trouble you've had in your life. I said, where would you be if you had to depend on your feelings? He said, I'd be in bad shape. But see, we get all of those memory, reason, and all, everything dealing in us, whether what it be, crying, praying, and all of those things, works through this spirit. We can do all of that and still die and go to hell. We can give our bodies to be burned, as Paul said. Know all the mysteries. Oh boy, I know Brother Ram's message and all the scriptures and things. You can do all that and still miss it. But we've got to clean out them channels. You remember years ago I used to preach a message called Digging That, Cleaning Out the Ditches. You remember it? Back there when the children of Israel were told, and they asked the Lord about what to do. And the Lord told them they was down in a valley, didn't have nothing to eat, or nothing to drink, and all had all their stuff. And the enemy was all around them, and he said, tell them to go down and dig some ditches. Get all that cleaned out. There will be water, but there won't be no rain. Now, where did the water come from? He said, there'll be water now, but there won't be no rain. The next morning, if you remember, the enemy come up on the hill and looked down, and the water that was in the valley looked like blood. It said to them, you know, the sun glistening off of it. Because they knew there wasn't no water down in there. They knew there wasn't no water in that valley. And they wouldn't water just our little trickle just for a drink or two. They was thousands of soldiers, and they had all of their victuals and their cattle and their things that they took with them when they went out like that, to where they'd have enough to survive for sometimes maybe a year or two, I guess, that they'd have to fight. And their horses and things like that. It said the water looked like blood to the enemy. And he rose up, he said, come on to the spoil. They've done killed each other. And they just rode right down in the middle of it. Where'd the water come from? Where did that water come from? It said there'll be water, but there'll be no rain. Read your Bible. That rock followed them throughout the journey through the wilderness, the Bible says. And the rock one time was smitten and brought forth water, didn't it? That water followed them then down through all the journey. And every time you see them thirsty and needing water, just remember it come from the rock. The Bible says the rock followed them. The rock is Jesus Christ. What we need to do this morning is just to do what he said. Just take him at his word. If you need healing this morning, then you just take God at his word. Get rid of them things. When Satan tries to tell you something, just stop it and do like Abraham. Just doubt your doubts. Read the book of the greatest battle ever fought. Read it over and over and over how the prophet told us. He said, take the word and stand on the word. And don't believe nothing contrary to the word. Separate yourself then from memory, reason. Say, Brother Devil, then how do you do that? Just read the word. Joyce, would you come? Why was a prophet has to be sent? Why did Brother Branham say a prophet had to be sent? Because people wouldn't read their Bible and pray. Now that's what he said. See, they begin then down there. The Catholic Church began to slide in gradually and slowly them little things through your memory and reasonings. And the things you were taught as a little child are still with you today. The fear that you were taught as a little child of the booger man is still with you today. Don't matter how old you are. It's still, now why would it? It still sends chill bumps up and down a grown man's back to walk through a cemetery at night. Now, they ain't nobody out there going to bother you. Is that true? They're all dead. Ain't nobody going to bother you. But why would it still, in me and all of us, send chills up your back to think you'd have to go to a cemetery at night? See, then you just think. It just has to be in the memory. In the reasoning. The channels Satan has plugged up He's plugged them until the word can't get to us. Now when we need it, now when we need it more than ever, he's plugged the holes. And he's working on us, ain't he? He's making all of them things work through that way. You say, yes, but if I could just feel it, Lord. What's that got to do with God? And just look at the drawing on the board. I put it up there this morning and put the senses on it just for that purpose. You say, if I could just feel you, Lord, I would believe you. That wouldn't have to do your soul, would it? Now, would that have anything to do with your soul if you could feel God? My sister's a Baptist to the core, and they cheat you out of every dime and take the coins off of a dead man's eyes. I'm honest, she'd do it. She said one time, she was praying, she said, I could feel Jesus standing in front of him. Said, I could just feel his body. Said, I was just praying, and he came before me, and I just felt his body. She'd steal the money off a dead man's eyes. Now, she ain't a thief or nothing like that, but she's just that way. Lord, if I could just see you. Lord, if I could just hear you one time talk to me. If you would just speak to me like you spoke to Abraham. All of these has nothing to do with your soul. Yeah, but Lord, if you would just deal through here. None of them senses would have anything to do with your soul. Now let's turn it around. God don't leave you without hope. God said, you remember in my word that I did say it and you could hear it. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Imaginations, conscience, affections. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The Bible speaks of all them things. You can see God. The Bible says you can taste him. You remember that? Something about taste the Lord, he is gracious. You ever smelled him? I have. See, but none of that has anything to do with your soul. It's just a channel to come in. The soul is God or the devil. Every which one motivates. And until you're born again, it's motivated by the devil. And it wouldn't matter how much you love God or whatever you've done out here, that wouldn't have anything to do with it. But as a Christian, this morning, if you need Christ, then let that word come down through from God through those senses into your soul and it'll be born again. If you're sick, if you need deliverance from something, then just let God pass through every bit of this and anything. Now here's a way to find the devil and you'll know. When God's word starts coming in, how do I check whether my message is right or not? I found it many a time when I wrote note after note, page after page, and come to a place that I just tore it up, throw the trash can. As I told one time, I studied the reason brothers got upset with me about marriage and divorce. I'd studied the thing so much, I could see that it was right for a man to marry a dozen wives. That was through my eyes. And I had proof all the way through the message. But then God said, erase them. And I just rolled them up in a ball and throwed them in a trash can and burned them. Matter of fact, I think I did burn them purposely where nobody...